I really don't like when people try to lie. That's the one thing. You could say things to me that I don't like or agree with, but if you just flat out lie, if you try to urinate down my leg and tell me it's raining, I just have very little appetite for that. So when Rob Manfred comes out and says, well, we were never going to play anything more than 60 games based on the way that the negotiations went. He said this on Dan Patrick this morning. That is literally the first line of deposition that I will use if I'm the Players Association and I got to go into a grievance hearing that says that I'm alleging Major League Baseball and its owners negotiating in poor faith. Ha ha! I'll take my check right now for $1 billion. Thank you very much. Because even though, as it sits right now, we're dealing with much different scenarios when it comes to getting back to the field of play because of a spike in COVID cases, these negotiations went on for months, and there was no reason, there was no darn reason why we couldn't have had a baseball season playing on as we speak. We could have had games on right now if these two sides couldn't have just gotten together and figured out a formula. And no, there might not have been fans, but guess what? There are other ways for you to gain revenue. He went on to say, we were playing 60 games now in 63 days. I don't see, given the reality of the health situation over the past few weeks, hindsight 2020 there, Rob, how we're going to get going any faster in the calendar than we're on right now. He says the players left real money on the table. The fans will not get expanded postseason, which I think would have been good with the shortened season. That's what happens when you have a negotiation that instead of being collaborative, gets into a conflict situation. And I will take at least some of the slack that I, or some of the heat that I put on the owners and also put it on the players because when they said tell us when and where, that was very manipulative and very word salady because it wasn't tell us when and where. As in, we want to play. It's mandate a season. We dare you, Rob Manfred, because we're going to see you in court at the end. But it got to that point because they realized the owners wouldn't budge, because they were not going to take a haircut off of their profits. They were not going to take a haircut off of their losses. When you publicize profits and privatize losses, that's not ex or when you privatize profits, I should say, and publicize losses, that's not a good strategy when it comes to gaining public opinion. Because as we know from the books that Liberty Media discloses to the public, not as if they're losing money on the Braves. Just saying. Another group of people that I feel constantly lies to me, and again, the reason why they do it is because they're protecting their pockets, protecting their coffers, protecting their cash flow, is the college commissioners, presidents, and directors of athletics. Anytime they speak out among the proposed name, image, and likeness laws, regulations, mandates that are before Congress right now. Ross Dellinger, who was on the program yesterday, and I feel terrible because today would have been a much better day to have him on than yesterday because while he did talk about very important things local to us, including the stuff on Morehouse. If you missed that discussion, it's in yesterday's show file. If you go to the John Chuckery show page at radio.com or at 929thegame.com, you can find that interview in the second hour of the program. But he was in a congressional hearing today with people speaking on name, image, and likeness in front of a congressional subcommittee. And they are lying through their teeth, saying things like, I don't know how college athletes are going to balance, the responsibility of almost a second job while going to class and practice and all that. You mean to tell me if a player at the University of Georgia can make $250 off of a tweet involving a car dealership, and he can't do that in 5 seconds? He can't balance that. And the one part that I do not like, the part that I absolutely hate, is people who try to say, well, this is going to take away funding for women's sports and for the Olympic sports, and that only a select few can benefit. That is so close-minded and backwards. that you can't even see straight. This is the type of law, rule, and mandate that could actually help athletes who play Olympic sports. How many times have you seen a situation where after their collegiate career, you see a volleyball camp, a baseball hitting camp? Former Missouri player and current member of the Braves farm system, Trey Harris, put forth a hitting camp over the summer. Couldn't do that while he was at Mizzou, but they knew he was a baseball prospect, and while he was in college, he could have possibly had that to supplement the fact that he wasn't getting a full ride at Mizzou. The amount of scholarships that the NCAA mandates for college baseball is 13. The roster is 35. So don't sit here and tell me you don't have the funding to put forth name, image, and likeness. You don't give them garbage. You don't give them anything. You give them clothes. You give them food. But that's, and some financial assistance on their education. That's it. They're not getting full rides. So spare me if you're sitting here and saying, oh, well, you know, we won't have an opportunity to fund it. It's all funded by football anyway. And you aren't going to lose people who want to give you the opportunity to raise funds for your schools because the schools are the vehicle. You're still going to have people who raise money for things like coaches' buyouts and facilities upgrades and scholarship funds. Like, that money's not going anywhere. It's not like they're going to all of a sudden stop donating to the Georgia Scholarship Fund or the Georgia Tech Scholarship Fund, and all of a sudden that money's going to go away and go bye-bye and now go to the athletes? College football is a multi-billion dollar industry. The problem is the multiple billions of dollars are going all to people who don't actually go on the field. It sits in a safe in Indianapolis where Mark Emmert sits there and counts it, other than basically appearing in front of the media and telling people every so often, oh, I have no power over this because the NCAA has no influence in college football for the past 35 years after it was voted out in a court of law. And the only thing that he really cares, gives a darn about is the NCAA tournament, which, again, makes him billions of dollars. So don't, again, sit here and tell me that there isn't money to be made by more than just the top three or four college football players at a school when it comes to name, image, and likeness. It's folly. And to the fan, I'm not done here. To the fan who says, I wouldn't watch college football if they started paying the players, if they started professionalizing college football, open your eyes. Ever since every game inside the SEC is on television, available to everybody, guess what? It's not amateur anymore. It's professional in every sense of the word, with the exception of the fact that the players are getting jobbed. And they've always gotten jobbed. It's only now that they recognize their voice to say, hey, this ain't right. You're seeing that in other issues involving social justice, which I applaud. You're seeing people who had incidents of racism that was clouded by the fact that they had power now being exposed. But before that, they were saying things like, how in the world can I take my girlfriend out on a date? Well, he should be in the weight room. Well, you know, there's 24 hours in a day, man. You can go to the movies. It's okay, especially in the off season. And a lot of them in the off season, you know, there's limits on the kind of work that they actually can do. You know, I've seen situations in places that I have been where you see, you know, a bar owner hires, you know, players to do work around their bar after hours. And probably gives them more money than they would give their own workers because he's a donor to the school. That stuff happens. Newsflash. It already is happening. If you can legislate it and regulate it, then maybe the playing field doesn't have to be so oblong and so out of whack. But, you know, smarter people than me can figure that one out. I don't have all the answers. I just know. And again, I don't like to use the word fair here because fair and life is not fair. But I also know what I think they are entitled to. And when you perform a service and that service puts money in the coffers of some pretty affluent people, Dabo Sweeney owes his life to people like Deshaun Watson, who's making his money now in the league, and Trevor Lawrence will make his money someday. But he owes his livelihood to players who, while they're performing an act for him, got nothing more than books and three trips to the training table. That, to me, doesn't sound like a fair trade, even though you'll be able to make money on the back end while you're actually performing the activity. There needs to be some more equal semblance of compensation, in my mind. And if you don't believe that so, then you're naive and ignorant, because you're not living in 2020. You're living in 1980, when college football was a largely regional sport and doesn't have the national following that it has now. Yes, the allegiances are still regional. You know, people down here will slam the Big Ten. People in the Big Ten will say that their brand is better. And people out west claim they play football, even though I've never really actually seen it, or at least I haven't seen it since Reggie Bush was at USC. Sorry, Andy. But the fact of the matter remains is that the sport has more eyeballs on it than ever before. And because of that, the players need to have a piece of the pie. Plain and simple, full stop. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is how you get in touch with the program. 404-741-0929 on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Also on Twitter at Willie P Style. We'll come back. Had a chance earlier in the program to talk to Felipe Cardenas, who covers Atlanta United. Some comments from him and our colleague Jason Longshore on the MLS's Back Tournament, which is, of course, just 11 days away. And heard right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.